What's going on, everyone? Welcome to a very questionable episode of Fan World. I'm your host, Lucid Dreams, and on today's show, I'm being joined by the man responsible for one of the best running backs in the ISFL, the almost consensus number one fantasy pick, and your ISFL touchdown and rushing yards leader, Quest. Hope you enjoy the show. You recently celebrated your first year in the league. How'd you discover the ISFL?
That's time flies in the ISFL, man. I'll tell you that. That was almost 2 months ago. So it's been in the ISFL for about 14 months. Just like about, I think, everybody else that's been on the show so far, I found a post on Reddit. It was on RNFL, which is one of the few subreddits that I follow pretty regularly. And it was, hey, come join the National Simulation Football League. It was right when, it was right around that same time that the NBA got shut down and people were starting to, like, take COVID pretty seriously. I mean, could have taken it a lot more seriously, but, I saved that post because, like, trying to pull up the website on my phone was really intimidating. But eventually hopped on and started kind of ticking through things. I was already pretty familiar with using Discord for a bunch of other stuff. And it was really cool to jump into the community. Got me pretty hooked pretty quickly.
At what point do you think you found yourself hooked?
I think honestly, just going through that first day on the site, I saved it on the morning of one day, and I think maybe created an account that same day. And then, like, the next day I came on and I created my update page. I had kind of built out my player a little bit more and had an idea of where it was going. I'd been able to talk to a few people around the league. And I hammered through that day doing all the rookie point tasks and making, like, my first player media. And I come from like a role playing, tabletop playing background.
Okay.
And so I think it was really fun to, like, get into some of that role playing stuff. I don't do it so much anymore in the league, but I think some of that stuff is fun. And I wrote my whole first media article, like, in character and just exploring that. And that was really fun.
That's awesome. Was this your first simulation league?
Yeah. No, I didn't know that this thing, like, was a thing. It's such a weird, it feels like such, like, an obvious, I think, thing that makes sense. You know, you have RP forums for just about everything. And I think there's a big appetite for, like, wanting to try and live that kind of player or, like, manager life. And we don't get a lot of, I think it's really hard to deliver that in a video game, not to mention I don't think companies that have the rights to make those video games are doing a very good job of it. It's not something that I, like, thought of, but it's the first one I found here, and they've been around for a while, man. I think the SHL, which I joined recently, has been around for like 10 years now,
and
it's crazy.
I was kind of the same way. I was really surprised when I found it, and I was like, why wouldn't this exist? Why did I never think that this existed? Because I just, you know, I just recently stumbled across it, you know, when I came into this league. And it's such an interesting concept to me that I'm just surprised that I never thought about it. Like, you know, of course this thing exists.
How did you say you came across it? I forgot. I think you mentioned that on a recent episode. But
I was reading a media article on, like, I was on Facebook reading about another football league, the fan-controlled football league. There was, like, an article for it, and on the article there was an ad, and it was, like, just a little quick ad at the bottom that was talking about want to manage your own football team or live the life of a player. Like, click here to read about it or something along those lines. So I clicked in. I was like, "What's this? You know, this sounds interesting," and it took me to the forum page, and I was like, okay. So I browsed the forum page for a second, and that's when I found the Discord link. So I popped into the Discord and kind of just asked, like, is this thing still exist? Is this actually something that's functioning, or is this just another ad for something that hasn't come out yet? Because I've seen those before too, where they've got ads for games or, you know, online sims that haven't started, you know, even simming yet. So then when I got into Discord, I ran into like a lot of the rookie mentors, and we're like, yeah, this still exists. Go on forum, create a page. We're all here to help you get started. And I was like, oh, awesome. So I jumped in and created within the, like, I found it one day, and I think I was like you, I created everything the next day and been kind of hooked ever since.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think it's, you know, I think as you've experienced having people on the show, I think the majority of us tend to find this from different corners of Reddit, but I'm really interested to see how we can try and grow this otherwise, because I think we're starting to find out that we're kind of tapping the bottom of our Reddit pool.
Yeah, I'm curious, because it seems like a lot of people weren't aware that there was ads going on. So I'm kind of curious. I'd like to know who put the ad out.
Yeah, that would have been recruitment team. I'm not sure who the recruitment head is right now, but we have a full, you know, it's a full league job you can have to be a part of the recruitment team.
So I know we mentioned a little bit about you being hooked almost right away, but what was your time like in the DSFL?
Man, see, this is such a hard question looking, since you sent me a few of these questions ahead of time, but I feel like I never really left the DSFL. My player really only ever played for a season with Portland in season 21. But, like, I don't know. I mean, A, managing the Pythons for two seasons, and then just kind of being a part of that war room before then and since then. I've been pretty invested in the success of the team the whole time, but it was really great. I think that first season, it was a great opportunity, I think, preparing for this, for me to go back and read a bunch of old DMs or old messages in the locker room from, you know, a year and 2 months ago, or I guess, but right around the time I got drafted at the Pythons. And there's so many people that, like, were in that group that haven't talked to in a while, or like have fallen out of the league or gotten banned out of the league. That was just one person, and that's its own story. But yeah, no, I think I had a lot of fun. The Pythons before the season before we came in were like a 2-12 team. And we turned around and got the second spot in our conference into the playoffs that season. Had a chance to do a little bit more, but had a pretty bad conference game. But yeah, it was just really cool to make the playoffs that season. Had a really good group of guys, a few guys that I, you know, still talk to here and there, but just was a lot of fun. I think DSFL community is really important and really valuable to, like, get people motivated and involved in the community.
I know I've definitely, since I found it, I've pretty much lived there. So I know how that is for sure on that side. You mentioned managing Portland. How did you come to be the manager?
It was a weird set of circumstances. Portland had kind of, like, I don't know if it was a history of the drafting and the developing, but like a lot of the war room in Portland had kind of died out. It was the same few people that used to manage the team that were still kind of helping around for a while, and the two managers that were there at the time. And not much of anybody else involved. And then myself and number 82, who's another S22 guy, both came into the war room and basically immediately took over like the whole of like sim testing and setting depth charts, just because there really wasn't anybody else to do it. And then one of the GMs of the team when I got there was pushed to step down after making some unsavory comments in the like management server.
Gotcha.
And then we had a player from another team come in to manage the team, to co-manage the team for a season, but then they got called up to manage the Philadelphia Liberty. And it was like, okay, we've run out of like outside options. We've run out of inside options. Let's try and like go to these new users. And 82, I think, was on it, he's Australian, and I think on a bit of a weird time differential, and also was just getting busy with some other stuff. So I was like the second in line to do it, and they were like, I mean, we don't have anybody else. And I was like, okay, that's instilled a lot of confidence. I took it over from there. Had to do a lot of, I think, focusing on drafting people for the future. And really happy with where the team is at now. It's been a long road to get to, I think, having a few seasons of doing really well with the team. We've got a
So
pretty juiced war room.
what point in like that when you took over managing at what point in that or in your ISFL career was that? Were you already in the ISFL at that point, or was that during your rookie season with the DSFL or?
Yeah, I went up straight away with my player. So I was already on Orange County. I came into the war room for season 22 of the DSFL, and then I took over as the GM for season 23.
Okay, so you'd been
So
through
I
a little bit before that kind of fell in
Yeah,
line.
it had been a couple of seasons, but man, does that feel like it was forever ago. And it did not feel like I'd had much time in the league. I'd had a full season in the war room, which was really helpful for me. But I hadn't been in an ISFL war room yet. I didn't join Orange County's war room until I think right before I stepped down from GMing for Portland. So it felt really quick. But yeah, I GM'd for those 2 seasons, season 23 and season 24. So I guess season 23 was the same season that I was the first time I led the league in rushing. So it was right at the same time I was coming into my, I think, full form as an ISFL player, which was interesting.
So what was that transition like for you? I know you mentioned you played one season in the DSFL and then got called up. So what was your transition like from DSFL to ISFL?
Honestly, I think like the transition was really just like another community in the league being opened up to me. I was still around in the Portland locker room, still plenty active. I mean, I was just about to take over managing the team, so but it was a whole, getting welcomed into the Orange County locker room and meeting a lot of those guys and getting to start playing with some of the really great players that were there. It was really cool. My first season, we had a long-standing running back for the team that was on his way down into regression. So I didn't take over the first running back, like the RB1 duties, until halfway through the season. And we still had Franklin Armstrong, who should be going into the Hall of Fame this season, who was still running in his prime. So I had a lot of pressure off me for the first season, really, a couple seasons, and then took off from there. So it's good. It was pretty eased me in pretty well. I had a lot of experience into Portland before I got involved with like managing and scouting or anything for Orange County. So it was really smooth. It was really great.
So now you mentioned one of those seasons being your first season as a rushing leader. Through 10 weeks of the current season, you're the rushing yards leader with 992. You're currently averaging 5 yards per carry, and you're first in the league in rushing touchdowns with 14. How does it feel to be at the top again?
Feels good. I mean, I think what's really important is like keeping up there on those touchdown numbers, because I led the league in rushing yards last season as well. I ended with 1,588, but I lagged behind Raftalia-Chan in touchdowns, which was enough to lose running back of the year and offensive player of the year to Raftalia-Chan. And that sucked. That was a bummer for me, despite I think I ended up with like 200 more yards on the season. So I think what's important for me is like keeping up with those touchdowns. But I mean, if I can finish on this pace, if I can finish on this pace for this season and rushing yards, it'll be the fourth time that I'll have finished as the league rushing champ, which feels great. It's really cool. I'm really at this point where I'm keeping pretty close track of a lot of these like career records and career milestones, and really trying to build up a solid Hall of Fame resume. And so, every extra yard, every extra touchdown counts for that.
Is there any particular awards or records that you're watching closely?
Well, I think it's important to try and win another award. I think that'll go a long way for the Hall of Fame resume. I think if I can win running back of the year, I will pick up offensive player of the year or MVP as well. It's going to be hard to pick up MVP with the quarterbacks having this kind of A quarterbacks just have like inborn, I feel like, more clout than running backs. Just they're putting up pretty gargantuan yards. I don't know if you saw, I posted in the main server yesterday, but Caliban, Colorado's quarterback, just broke the single game ISFL record for passing yards in a game.
No, I
So
did not know that.
he had like 570 against San Jose on week 10.
Yeah, that was
It was pretty bonkers. But yeah, I think if I can, if I can, I think bringing home hardware this season would be huge. But I'm also Nakamura has just moved up to number six all time in career rushing touchdowns. So I have 80 touchdowns on my career. The number one record's 123.
If you continue
Theoretically,
with the
if I can
pace here,
keep, if
yeah,
I
you
can keep this
continue at your
pace of like
pace, you're
20 a
on.
season. If I can get like 20 a season for this season, next season, and like the one after, I could beat that. I think the big thing is trying to break top three, because top three, number three is at 104, number two is at 105. If I can break into like number two, that would be pretty crazy.
Now, how far are you away from regression?
This off season is regression.
Okay.
I can tank the first season of regression pretty easily. It's 20% regression, I think. And I should have enough banked TPE, or I should be able to get enough TPE after regression with like equipment in order to be right back to full like capped build. And if not, like I'll lose a few points on my like run blocking ability, which is fine. So I think really I have this season and next season still at my prime.
Okay. So at what point did you realize that Nakamura was just going to be like the guy? When did you realize that you were going to be one of these players that really makes a difference and has a real shot at, breaking records and making the Hall of Fame?
I think it was season 24. Season 23 was amazing. It was my sophomore year in the league, and I led the league in rushing yards. I didn't quite have, I think, the supporting stats, because like Hanyadi was the number two rusher, but he had a bunch of touchdowns and he had a bunch of receiving yards at the same time. But I followed up S23 by leading the league in rushing again in S24, and then won running back of the year. That was huge. I think it was that. It was like, if you can like keep doing this, and I think if the offense is geared around the running back, like your player is in a good position to just mow over people. And I had like I still like my rookie season was my worst season, but I think I still had like over 900 rushing yards. So it's like, I was at the perfect opportunity where like I went up straight to the ISFL. Like I didn't spend another season down, and I was in a good position to immediately like take over and start racking up stats. So if I could consistently do that throughout my career, I think I was always in a good trajectory.
So Arizona is currently second in the division. I mean, you guys are a tied record right now, but you're listed at second, 8-2.
Who knows still how very much alive. Come down.
You're still very much alive in the fight for the Ultimas. Can you guys bring it home this season? And what do you need to do to make that happen?
Man, I think we can, but like Austin and New York are messing with my head. I had both of those teams missing the playoffs, I think, in my season. I think I might have been a little higher on New York then, but Austin for sure. I keep in my head thinking Austin is a pretender, but I mean they just beat Berlin, they just beat Honolulu. I think I have to accept that Austin is like fairly legit. So it's just, I mean, look, you get into the playoffs in this league, it's a one game playoff. It's win or go home. I think anybody can do it. And I think we're, you know, Orange County at fourth is at 4-6. So I think we're in a great position to pretty much call it a locked up playoff berth. And at that point, it's just anyone can take it. And I mean, not to mention like Berlin and Sarasota on the other side of the league are heavy hitters in their own right. But
I know I have no experience with it, but when I was looking through some of the predictions and kind of trying to make my off-season predictions or my final predictions for the season, I picked Austin pretty low just based on how I'd seen everybody else either projecting them or the things that I'd heard about, you know, maybe some of their issues coming into the season. And so my first few predictions for the week for the TPE tasks, I was betting against them. I think it was week 3 or 4. It would have been five because we did the first 4 weeks, the first sim. So it would have been week 5 is when I finally was like, okay, I picked against them for the first 4 weeks basically and lost. So I'm going to start giving them a little bit of faith.
Yeah, no, for me, I had to, I for this last like week 8, 9, and 10 of predictions, I submitted them initially and then like just looked through some of how Austin was doing. And I had to go in and like edit all of them because I was like, I can't like keep putting Austin to lose these games if I want to get that prediction TP. Cause like, yeah, just had to take them legit. So I went in and edited it. Like, I think I edited and I think I had Austin like going 0-3 through these weeks and had to move them up to winning all three of their games.
I had thought about editing after some of the first sims and I just wasn't sure what the rules were for editing. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to wait.
Oh so yeah. Don't edit it after the games have started. But I mean, if the games for that week haven't started, you're good to go.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't talking about editing like during the week, but I just wasn't sure. Like I'd already submitted it. So I was like, I don't know if that's, you know, how they feel about that. So I just kind of left it alone.
Yeah, you should be good to edit those if the games haven't started.
All right, I'll keep that in mind. So what would it mean for you to win it all this season?
It would mean like finally feeling like there's some justice in the league. That's what it would feel like. I've had a pretty bad streak of playoff success. I went back and like looked through the old indexes. I haven't won it. Here's the thing. I've made the playoffs every season in my career, which is amazing in and of itself. I made the playoffs with Portland. I made this playoffs every season I was with Orange County, and I made the playoffs with Arizona last year. Should make it this year. I haven't won a playoff game since S24. So it's been a while, and I think I've won maybe 3 playoff games in my career. We made it to the Ultimas my rookie season with Orange County. We faced up against this is great, I think, league history to know if you weren't around for it. But the season 22, then NSFL Ultimas, was the most bonkers game. At one point, Orange County was up 21-3. This was after the half. So like in like late in the third quarter, Orange County is up 21-3, and we lose that game 25-4. A full like Falcons style bungling of that whole game, and that was rough. And then
I can imagine.
And then like back to back seasons after that, we get steamrolled by San Jose out of nowhere, beating all like predictions and all like statistical odds to win back to back Ultimuses. And we were there in the conference championship against them both times and lost out on those on like weird fluke games based on our sim testing. So like, yeah, I've just had terrible luck in the playoffs, and I really just, not to mention, like I said, I've been pretty invested in Portland this whole time, and we made it to the Ultimini against Bondi Beach and like tested at like 85% win percentage and then lost that like terribly, like got steamrolled. I just, yeah, now I don't know. It would feel like justice to like be able to get into a game and like win and like beat. Like what's more important than anything is like the team plays well and doesn't like totally collapse, because that's what happens every time I get into the playoffs.
Like, I know it's a one game, you know, basically a one game series, and you know, anything can happen in the simulation, and 85% is definitely not, like you were mentioning, just that one season with 85% against BBB. And obviously that's not 100%, but when something like that happens where it's just a complete different scenario than what you guys seen in all your sim testing, is that just a case of the sim doing its own thing, or is that a case of maybe, you know,
I mean, it's
wrong information being inputted, or
it's a mathematical like percentage, like probability based simulation. It's always just gonna, I think it's part of what makes this the, like, here's the thing, being on the good side of an upset feels great. Feels amazing. Like being on the bad side of the upset feels terrible. And I think it's just something that I think makes the league really cool and really interesting. The fact that like there is such a high probability of just chance, and 85% definitely isn't 100%. You know, that's more than 1 in 10 of the games that we were going to lose. So that's why I think it's just more important that I feel like the team play, because you get these total duck games that are more like 1 in 100, where it's like your team just totally can't move the ball and like has like 7 turnovers. And those feel real bad.
Oh man, I couldn't even imagine the feeling of being up like that. You know, at half, you guys were probably feeling really good, and then.
Oh yeah,
it's kind of that remember, Falcon style comeback.
I remember I was in the voice channel with our GM and a couple of other players on the team, and it was I think we had half of the team by the fourth quarter that just like left the voice call, and it was terrible.
I don't mean to laugh at you guys.
No, it's fine. There's like a, you'll see it sometimes. I think there's an emote that goes around the league that's just somebody that screenshotted the 21-3 scoreline.
I think I've seen that in some of the locker rooms, actually.
Yeah, that's.
I didn't realize that was.
It's cemented. It's league history. It's that S22 Ultimus that will always be stuck to my player's career. I don't know. It's really fun. It's fun. It's fun to like be part of history, even if it's the worst part of the history.
That's funny. So I know you mentioned managing some teams and being very involved in the war rooms. Do you have any other jobs around the league?
Never had another league job. I was a GM for a couple of seasons, been in war rooms. I mean, war room is just unpaid labor, but I get along enough with, I think I was always more interested in like the content creation side of the league personally than like getting a bank job and just putting in numbers over the weekend.
So now you bring up content creation. You host your own podcast called The Questionable Show. What you want to tell us a little bit about your show?
Yeah, I just like once a season grab some tea and record for an hour and like put some like lo-fi vibes on the back. It's pretty great. I really wish in general that more people would listen to podcasts. I think podcasts I think people see graphics in like signatures and such, and they get pretty decent attention that way. Not a lot of people are like looking through graphics submissions, and like media gets, I think, the most clout and like the most eyes on pretty easily. But like, I think podcasts, like viewership is really underrepresented in the league. And I've always been super interested in the podcasts in the league. And I listen to just about everyone that's made.
That's the same way I am. It's one thing I was recently kind of pushing a little bit on the podcast graders, because I had 3 weeks worth of podcasts sitting there that hadn't been graded. And I was like, you know, I obviously can't grade my own, but I'm listening to every podcast that comes out almost the day it comes out. If you guys need some help clearing some backlog, like, I got no problem doing it. It's something I'm already doing.
Yeah, I almost messaged Joe, okay, because I think Slothface Killer was doing the podcast grading on his own for a while, and he's doing pretty good on getting those cleared out after like a week or so, getting them paid out pretty quickly. But I think he's stepped down from that, and I think they're working on filling that hole more consistently. I don't know, because a couple of the like Jimmy Pod 2 and Whole Simming Show 7 both got graded within like a day. It just depends on, I think they're getting more consistent at it. But
I noticed once I wrote and kind of questioned the grading team, I noticed I started watching a lot of them start getting graded throughout the day. So I was like, all right, they're coming on now. They're getting through it.
It's just, I don't know. Grading's always a weird thing. I mean, I've been in a good enough place that good enough place financially for a long time that it gets graded when it gets graded. But don't do graphics if you don't want to wait around for grading. That's what I'll tell you.
This being my first season in the league, I'm just trying to earn as much cash as possible to get, you know, get the equipment and be able to continue.
No, I think it's good.
The training done. So
I think it's good, especially while like I think there's like some good level of excitement to like build up a little bit of a bank if you've got free time, and like gives you some flexibility down the road.
So what made you decide to start doing podcasts in the beginning?
Season 22, I think my class got involved in the podcast pretty strongly towards the time that the draft started. And then Silfreni, who is the current GM of the Yeti, was running a weekly show for a while. And it's just really cool. I mean, I've made media. I jumped into like learning a lot of different parts about Photoshop so I could participate in graphics. I think I've always been interested in participating in all of the different like corners of the ways that you can get involved in the league. And I think it'd be really good for more people to like just at least dip their toes into all the different things that the league has to offer. But it was something that I got into and found came to me pretty easily, and was like a good way to consistently make money and just like get my thoughts and get sometimes my frustrations out in a more healthy manner, and like creating content around that I think has been a positive outlet.
I know I've enjoyed the aspect of, you know, doing the interviews and getting to talk to everybody, getting to meet the new people or different people around the leagues. Every interview brings a, you know, a different outlook, a different experience that somebody's had. So it's been really cool to, especially as a rookie, a true rookie to the league, to just kind of see, you know, get some advice or just see the ways that people have looked at their career, or looked at what they're doing in the league, or how they, you know, have taken the league in as a whole. So,
yeah, I think there's really something unique about like getting people together on a podcast. And like, I think that really, I think, can deepen your knowledge of like, and like feeling of community, I think, in the league of different people, more than like Discord messages can, really.
So what have you enjoyed most about your ISFL experience?
I think just like being able to have like a sim league career, like have like a full like I don't know. Like, I think it's a great outlet that like is really rewarding, and I think feels like a very real outlet in like this time where there's not much that I've been able to like do otherwise over the last year. So I think it's been really great. Just been really great. I feel really accomplished in my time in the league, and I think that's really great.
Sticking to kind of the same topic there, what would be your favorite highlight of Nakamura's career so far?
I think it would have to be I've had some pretty good success in like making it to the playoffs and making an Ultimus my rookie season. I think that's really great, but I think there's also a lot of like pain that comes along with failing out of those playoffs and Ultimus. I think winning the award I think was really great. I think it's something that I've been chasing for a few seasons because it just feels really great to like be the best, you know? I think we all we create players and we like want to be like we want to be team players and have team success, and that comes for one team every year. But like, I think there's also another like special greatness to like being recognized as the best at your position in a season.
I mean, you were basically the consensus number one fantasy football pick for the simulation league, so it's got to tell you something about where you're at with your character for sure, or your player.
Yeah, I think running back is a great position to like be able to milk those, but I really would have appreciated if the few people ahead of me in my draft would have just let it slide and let me be able to pick myself, because I'm beating myself pretty badly by being on another fantasy team, I'll tell you that.
Oh yeah, I mean, I know we've discussed it earlier, but the current league leader at both the rushing yards and touchdowns, so you're doing good for somebody's fantasy team.
Yeah, I'm doing good for losing myself TP. That's what I'm doing.
So I don't know if you had any questions for me, but if you did, this is where I'd like to turn the table over to you.
Sure. I think I had some questions off the top of my head. Let's see. I think flipping the script on like, where's London at? Let me get my DSL index back up. London is at 5-2. You guys started out the season, I think, like 3-0, and been 2-2 in your last four outings. What do you think the team has to change up to keep winning and stay at the front of the pack?
You know, for me, what I've noticed on defense, we've got to do a better job at the line, and that's something that, you know, I take personal as being part of that line. There's been a few times now where it seems like in the games that we've lost, we've just kind of had the running game shoved down our throats. That doesn't really feel good as being part of the defensive line. But then on the flip side of that, immediately following a loss like that, we come out and dominate at the line, and it's sack after sack after sack. I think the game before that, as a team, we had 5 sacks before our last loss, just together as a team. So that's, you know, it's kind of weird to see because, like I said, you get dominated 1 week and then you perform like that on the next. And then on the offensive side of the ball, it seems like we started out really strong. Our offense was on fire. It just didn't matter who touched the ball. It just seemed like whenever somebody got it in their hands, it was going to the house. That's slowed down. I don't know what goes into the actual simming and game planning yet. That's, you know, I'm not too involved in that process, so it just seems like something has changed up a little bit there for us. We're, like I said, struggling to move the ball like we were in the beginning of the season. We just got to get back to whatever it was we were doing in the beginning and continue to move the ball like we did the first, you know, 4 or 5 games. If we can do that, we'll be in a good position. We're still in first place, and at the end of the day, we've managed to get out with wins in all but 2 of our games. So it's just sticking to and doing more of the same, I guess, at this point. And like I said, trying to get back to what we were doing to score.
Yeah, I think it's been really interesting this season. I think London, in my experience historically, has been like this like air raid team. But I think you guys could do really well to commit a bit. I think you guys have one of the only rushing quarterbacks, right? I think he's mobile or I don't remember what the other archetype is, but literally every quarterback in the ISFL is like pocket passing or game manager.
Oh no, our quarterback has definitely had, and that was part of it too. When we were having a lot of success scoring, our quarterback was doing a lot of it on his feet.
Oh
So,
jeez, yeah. Now this Norfolk game in week three, it looks like he had like
oh yeah,
174 rushing yards.
oh yeah,
Jeez.
he did it all himself that
Oh
game.
man, he threw the ball away a couple of times too. If he didn't throw those two interceptions, that could be offensive performance of the year pretty quickly.
It
Jeez,
was a.
Louise.
In the locker room, we were just kind of sitting there stunned for that game. We're just watching, and it's like, oh, there he goes again. There's another 50-yarder.
I don't know what you've
Let's
heard about
go.
like the old version of the sim had this weird glitch where like there was this weird speed multiplier that applied at different tiers. And so for some reason 79 speed quarterback was the fastest quarterback you could have, was the fastest player you could have. It was like there's a specific multiplier for like rushing quarterbacks and then another multiplier for like 70 to 79 speed. So having your quarterback at 79 speed was like the equivalent of having like a 120 speed running back or something. It was
Oh wow.
bonkers. It was so weird. But yeah, I miss having rushing quarterbacks in the league. I don't think it's very viable with the current playbooks, I think is the big thing. But like I said, Franklin Armstrong was my quarterback for a while and is going to make the Hall of Fame pretty certainly. But he, I think, was the last big greats that could do it on the ground and in the air.
We definitely got one coming up, so
I'm
interesting to see how he does
hoping
next
Redder can
year.
do it. I don't remember who he got drafted with in the ISFL, but I think it'd be really interesting to see a team commit super hard to it.
He's got the skill to do it. He's shown that this season. I'm not, too familiar with his performance from last year, but this year he's definitely shown that he can put it on his back and take it with his legs whenever he needs to, so.
Exciting to see. I think you've had this question before, but have you started like A, have you started getting scouted for the ISFL? And how's that been going?
I've been scouted by one team so far.
I'm gonna guess either Colorado or New York.
Actually, neither.
Wow. Both slacking this year, huh?
So far it's just been one team, so I was also told it's still kind of early in the process that the next few days or over the next week is really when teams start ramping up their
Yeah, I think once we get to trade
scouting
deadline, though.
process. So I'm just kind of curious to see the process and how that's going to go. I know I haven't had as many tackles this season as I'd like for my character or for my player, but I've had I'm near the top of the league in sacks. I'm two behind the sack leader. Prior to that, I was tied. So looking forward to having another good week of Sims and trying to get back to the top of the leaderboard on that side.
You think you can make a run for the awards?
There's a lot of talented rookies this season, especially on my team, like Eric or Sam Squanch. He's been phenomenal with tackles this year. He's just always seems to be near the ball. So I don't know. I'm not sure what all awards get given out at the end of the year either.
So we have positional awards. So there's defensive, I think defensive end and defensive tackle are still separate. So there's a defensive end of the award of the year specifically.
Defensive end, if I can continue with the sacks, I don't know where they stand with sacks versus tackles, but
Oh, sacks is the big one.
if I can continue maintaining my status towards the top of the league at sacks, I mean, I could definitely see being in the conversation. And with every update, I'm new to this whole sim league, so I started with my basic 3 mil cash from creating a player, and I had that in my contract when I started, so I'm doing everything I can to get my equipment up and make as much cash as I can. So every upgrade is, or every update is an upgrade to my player still. So I'm maintaining a pretty good status with the sacks where I was, and I know I just had a nice upgrade this last week. So looking forward to see what that does in this next week of Sims.
Cool. What was the reasoning behind picking defensive end when you came into the league?
It was more just sticking to like real life, I guess. It was something that I enjoyed when I played football in high school. It was my favorite position to play. And when I came in, it was just what I picked. And I told people I was willing to switch. I wanted to stay on defense if possible, but I was kind of open to playing wherever. I found this, like I said, the whole idea of the league to be interesting. I was just kind of looking forward to get my first player going. So
that's cool. Do you think you'd still switch for the ISFL?
Oh yeah, I would switch to wherever. I'm enjoying the league. Like I said, I like playing defense, but at the same time, I'd switch to whatever position. I know in my talks before actually getting drafted, my talks with Minnesota, I think they were planning on moving me to the offensive side of the ball if they drafted me. We'd had a few talks about whether that was something I was willing to do. But I went, ended up going to London, who had a need on defense, and I was able to stay with the position that I initially created with. So that's been nice so far.
Yeah, it's usually a pretty high demand, but I think defense in general is pretty high demand usually. So stick with
it. As far as switching for the ISFL, I'm open to play whatever position. I'm not big into the offensive line area just because I hear that's a position that's dominated by bots. But outside of that, I'm willing to play wherever on the field. So
have you started kind of, you know, watching the games of the ISFL, started kind of feeling any kind of preferences for any teams? Are you waiting to like hear more about the scouting?
Yeah, I guess I'd be waiting to hear a little bit more about it or meet some more people. I know I have a lot of different members of ISFL teams in the locker rooms I've been a part of, but most of those people don't really focus on, I guess, scouting like in the locker room, or at least through just basic conversations. You know, everybody's in the locker room to hang out and just talk about whatever the current topic is in the locker room at the moment. But so I'm not even sure who some of my teammates actually belong to as far as team-wise goes. I know they're in the ISFL, but as far as trying to look at what their username is and transfer that over to what player they're coordinated with, there's still some people I don't have any idea what team they're even on.
I'll tell you, there's a pretty strong London to Arizona pipeline. I'll tell you that.
I know between the people that I met in Minnesota, I know I've talked to a lot of people from Chicago already.
That's cool.
But nothing official as far as scouting goes. Just I know I've met a ton of people from Chicago that I've had conversations with.
Yeah.
I think there's quite a few people in my locker room that are from Sarasota as well, or at least a couple from Sarasota.
Yeah, Slate is.
In the London locker room. But at the same time, I'm not, like I said, I haven't had any official conversations with any of them. So my only preference at this point would just be basing it off of their team performance this season and who I think's got the best branding. So that's kind of all I can base on at this point.
I know you went through and rated a lot of the branding and stuff from the DSFL in the last podcast at the end there. You thinking of doing the same with the ISFL?
Actually, the next episode of the Lion and the Loon series with Painted, it will not be on this next week's episode of Fan World, but it will be on the following. Painted segment's going to be a bi-weekly segment with me.
I will wait. But the next, I will wait patiently for that then.
The next segment, we are going to do the ISFL. I think we're going to split it up, do half on one episode and half on the next, just trying to do 14 teams for one podcast can run a little long.
Cool. Yeah, no, I love that segment. Thanks for defending the Portland field, because that was mine.
I absolutely like it. I mean, Portland field to me is one of the best. I like the way it looks. I like the end zone logos are awesome. It's one of my favorites.
You are you? I think your player is from Boise State. Are you a Boise State fan?
Yes,
No,
yes.
it's great. That's a lot of my mom's family is from that like Gem County, Iowa, Idaho area.
Yeah,
And so
I personally lived there for a while, so.
cool. Yeah, no, I grew up as I don't really follow college football enough, but I definitely grew up as a Boise State fan and gotta love my Smurf turf, man.
Oh yeah.
I
You know, it's like
was up.
I was gonna say it's when I first moved there, it was something that I was not a college football fan at all, or college sports in general. I just didn't care for, and trying to live there and not get drawn into the atmosphere that is Boise State is impossible.
Not for sure.
And if you're one of the few people that happens to be from Boise and roots for the U of I, there's just something
Oh
wrong with you at
man.
that point. So,
No, man, you gotta hike yourself up to Coeur d'Alene. Like, get out of here.
you need to just head north, all right? You're a little too far south.
That's great. Yeah, no, I think I was really pushing Portland to go for I have a silver design of the same field just because I love. I mean, I really wanted to do a black field, but HL wasn't approving any of the black fields.
That would have been a cool look, a black field with your guys' colors, with the kind of AstroTurf feel.
Yeah, it's a little hard to do to like make it show up like A with like the kind of texture effects to do like all black. You just have to go like really dark gray, but I think it would have been really cool. But I think HL was getting like way too many of those requests, and it's a bit too unrealistic of a design to do. I think there's like one high school field out there that maybe has a black design, but I'd love to see it.
Yeah, it would definitely be an interesting one.
So you mentioned like grading teams so far off of like their team performance. Do you think there are you looking to go to a contender? Is as far as like career goals, are you looking at like ability to find personal like player success? Are you looking at team success, like trying to rack up some trophies? Something of both, looking at more community based?
Well, I mean, it'd definitely be both. Obviously, I want to go somewhere where my player can make a difference. I don't want to be on a team where it's, I'm not necessarily needed as a player. But at the same time, I think winning and getting championships is kind of the ultimate goal. I don't think anybody really plays or joins the Sim League thinking, "Yep, I'm ready to lose this season and next season and the season after." Like, the start of the year, everybody's goal is to go to the Ultimus. So, I just think that's something that I'm kind of just looking forward to being a part of, making a run at a championship. So,
If you had to put 2 million cash or 2 million league dollars down on the Ultimus champion for this season, who you think you'd be putting it down on?
if I had to bet on the Ultimus champion this year. Oh,
10 weeks in.
what's that?
10 weeks in, we got a few people, got six teams at over 7 wins.
Well, I used a couple different people's rankings. I guess they had done some kind of sim testing or whatever, however they came up with their rankings for the season. And I picked Colorado to win it all in the beginning.
Ooh.
Right out of the gate, I realized that probably was not going to happen. While they've kind of gone up and down, they haven't I haven't seen much there that's shown me that they're going to win the Ultimus this year. I guess not just because you're on my pod, but I would say Arizona probably. Arizona or Berlin, I think would be the two that I would put my money on at this point.
What do you think of the big
Just
factors with
something.
that?
What's
What are the
that?
big factors for making those two your top two?
Your player has a lot of it for Arizona. It's when watching that, I mean, I know Austin too with Watts is another player that you just kind of watch, and it's like, okay, so you, like I said, you and Watts are to me play have a very similar style when it comes to The Sims. You guys are just seems like a handoff anywhere on the field can basically lead to points. So having just that dominant offense that seems to just score at will, I guess would be the reason why I would pick you guys on that end, because I think at the end of the season you'll be at the top of that division. And then with Berlin, it's just seemed to be I know they just lost one recently, but they've just kind of seemed to dominate, or even when they were in tight games, they've seemed to perform late at the end. I haven't seen anything from Berlin that's shown me that they're going to slow down from their current trajectory. If I had to pick on who would go to the Ultimates, I'd say it would probably be you guys versus Berlin. And that would be a really fun game to watch, I think.
Yeah, I think Berlin has a really well-balanced offense and a really great defense as far as like keeping teams out of the end zone. But we've been waiting on Berlin for a few seasons. They've been, I feel like, really underperforming their potential, but I think they're really clicking this season. And it's really good because they have more season 22 players than anyone else in the league. So they really need to strike while the regression is at bay.
Yeah, they're, like I said, they're just watching them in their games. They just kind of seem like they're a level above, you know, who they're playing. So I don't know if that has to do with the players or just the game plan or just being on the luck of the sim for that week. But
I mean, I'll say it helps to play in the NFC. So I'll tell you that. I'm a little jealous, I'll say.
But like I said, and then going back to you guys, like I said, it's hard to bet against your player. And that's, like I said, not just for you being on my podcast, but just in general, your player's been dominant. I mean, you're at 10 weeks of the season. You're basically at 1,000 yards already. I know when we initially scheduled the podcast a couple weeks ago, you were at first in rushing yards and second in touchdowns. Since then, you've hopped to the top of both categories. It's hard to bet against a player who's performing like Nakamura is right now, which is why I think at the end of the season, you guys will probably be ahead of Austin.
Try not to do it too loudly, but I'm just knocking on wood furiously here. Cause I really,
I don't want to jinx you guys, but it's when you ask a question about that and you happen to play for the team that I think is, you know, one of the leaders, it's hard not to. So
cool. Those are all the questions I had.
So before we wrap up, I have a way I like to end all my segments. For sure. I like to ask, do you consider yourself a gamer?
I have too many hours on Sid Meier's Civilization V not to.
Absolutely love that game. So what are you currently playing, or is that
I've played Civ 5, I've played Civ 6. I think there are the two games on Steam that I've spent hours in, just because something about those games can really suck you in.
Sorry for the interruption. During the interview, we had a connection issue. Once reconnected, there's a very noticeable lag. I debated cutting this section out of the show, but I still enjoyed the conversation, so I hope you will too, despite the lag. So here is the wrap-up with Quest.
I've put a bunch of hours in on Civ 5 and Civ 6. Like, probably like 400-something hours between the two of them. Just because there's something about those games that'll suck you in. And just are always great to go back to. But I bought my girlfriend Civ 5 for like a tenner for all the expansions and everything, which is still a great game. And so we've put in like 20 or 30 hours in the last like few weeks. It's been great to get her into that. But yeah, other than that, I think I always like to have some kind of sports game that I can play every once in a while. I got NCAA Football 14 booted up on my computer through like emulators and stuff. And it's really great. There's like a mod community that's like putting in like modern uniforms and stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's like
I need
college
to check that
football
out.
revamped, and you can get it booted up on this like PS3 emulator.
I'm excited to see what they
Yeah, no, that'll
do with this
be.
new one.
I mean, I don't want to put my faith in like 2021 EA, but I'm hopeful for something. Yeah, I think that and like I think the game that I got it in like December for like Christmas, but I keep going back to Hades. It's a great game to pop an hour to like into at the end of a busy day, and it's just excellent. It's an amazing game.
So, what would you call your favorite game of all time?
I think I'd have to put the Civilization series up there, but I'm pretty like garbage at it, even though I've spent like 450 hours in it. I'm like Civilization's the great like entry level simulation game, and I try to jump into these like Paradox games, like these HOI4 or Victoria 2 or whatever, and just like have no idea what I'm doing. So it's like, do I love like building my own civilization? It's great, but am I bad at like managing all the systems? Absolutely. So I think it's something like, I think it's all about like the feeling of the game, and I don't think I could put a game that feels better to play than the Spider-Man on the PS4. Like that game is like the only game in like years that I've 100%ed. And like gone back and like replayed after. I don't know. I think there's so many like game like action games and RPG games that really tamp you down with like terrible feeling movement and like traversing, and you get these huge open worlds that like feel terrible to try and get around in. But like man, I could just spend 24 hours of a day just swipping around New York City. Feels great.
Yeah, I haven't. I play a lot of console games, but I haven't played I don't know, a lot of these RPG games, things
Man,
like that
I've
have
been on
lost me
Xbox
over the
forever. I bought a
years.
PS4 basically just to play God of War and play in Spider-Man, and never has that been more worth it.
I'm a PS4 gamer. I lost faith in Xbox. I know a lot of people swear by it, but my original Xbox, I never had the overheating issue, but my laser failed and stopped reading discs. Got that repaired, happened a second time. Bought the 360 when it came out. The laser failed, stopped reading discs. Got that repaired, happened a second time. Then I stopped.
That
I'm like, you
original
know, I'm done
360
playing the
was
game with
just
Microsoft at
a
this point.
mess. I think the hardware is really good now, but
Everybody's having that. Everybody was having the Red Ring of Death, and I'm like, no, mine's
just
not
everything else is
overheating. I don't
broken.
have the Red Ring of Death. It just decided it doesn't want to read. Yeah, it doesn't work. So that kind of destroyed my faith in Microsoft after quite a few
Yeah, I think they're
failed
doing some really cool
experiences.
stuff with
But
like Game Pass, and I think like if you're just playing like multiplayer games, there's no better console than Xbox, but I really want to be able to get into these like just like Sony game studios just really keep killing it.
I just got the new Assassin's Creed game as well, which
I
I don't know if
loved
you've played
Odyssey.
any of the Assassin's Creed
I
or
got
not.
involved in like the initial project stream from Google before they launched Stadia, and I was playing it. They gave like a free copy of Assassin's Creed Odyssey for participating in that. I played the heck out of that game.
Yeah, the new one that the Valhalla
Y'all have to give it a
is
try at some
amazing.
point.
I'm gonna have to look up which Spider-Man game you're talking about as well, because that's I haven't played any of those. Like I said, I stay away from a lot.
Yeah, if you
I
haven't played
mostly
God of
stick to a lot of
War,
sports
definitely should
games
play God of
now,
War on the
so.
PlayStation 4. Spider-Man, absolutely. If you get a, I want to wait until I get a PS5 to play the newest Spider-Man because it looks really. They made a Miles Morales sequel to the PlayStation Spider-Man, but.
Yeah, I think I played the original God of War, but I haven't played maybe the
Yeah, the new
second one. I
PlayStation
haven't
4
played
God of
anything
War is really
past that.
great too. a lot of really challenging, really fun like boss fights in it that were really fun to go through.
I know I recently picked up a Switch as well. I know I got conversations with Painted. I had he'd referred to me one of the new Zelda games. So, just being a old school kind of Zelda lover from
Absolutely.
Nintendo, I decided to check it out
They
and
made a
see what this
recreate
new
for
one
Wind
has.
Waker on Wii U, which is my favorite old Zelda game. And I'm waiting for that to come out on the Switch because I'd love to replay through Wind Waker like 3 times.
Have you
I played
tried
a
the
little bit of
new
Breath of
Zelda
the
game
Wild. I
at
don't
all?
currently own it. Like I just tried it out on my sister's Switch, but I think I have to like retry it. I don't know. There's something about like the I like getting railroaded a little bit in like my RPG games, and so something about like getting dumped in this world with like no sense of direction, because my like my internal GPS and like my actual sense of
Yeah.
direction are just awful. So I think I needed a little bit more guidance than they gave me in the beginning of the game.
It's definitely, well, I haven't put too much time into it yet. I've been distracted with a couple other games, and then coming into this league, I haven't really, my gaming time has dropped drastically since
No, I
I
feel that. I
found this
think
league.
that's a big reason why I love League
So.
podcasts, because I can feel like I'm still involved in the League community by like listening to a podcast while I'm also like playing Hades. And I think that's a great way to spend an hour.
I've started plugging them in while I'm at work. I just browse, listen to lead podcasts while I'm
Yeah, that's
working, and
a good way to do it. If you're listening to this and you don't have a
where I go
podcast, you
from
should start
there.
a
So,
podcast in the League because I need more content to listen to.
that's awesome. All right, man. I really enjoyed having you on today.
Yeah,
It
cheers. It
was
was
awesome
a
to
great
finally
interview.
get you
Thanks
on the
for
pod.
having me on.
Absolutely, and we'll
For
definitely try
sure.
to link up again a little bit later in the season.
Yeah, thanks.
That's it, guys. That's the show. Thanks for hanging out with us on a very questionable episode of Fan World. And as always, I appreciate anyone who's taken the time to listen. Thanks to Quest for coming on the show. He was a very fun interview. If you enjoyed the show, rate, follow, review, and join our world.